I never forget the first moment when I walked in Cure Cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to the 35th Skinon podcast.
Woo!
Yes, and we're into December, the last month of the year. Thanks
for telling us.
The traditional time when we start compiling our best of the year list.
This is what I look forward to. Not Christmas, the heck with that. It's the list.
It's annual cramming 40 movies you haven't seen over the year into 2 weeks.
I have at least 10 on my list.
Yeah, I know, but too many.
It's absolutely insane that, just to make sure that we have the complete list, we will be mainlining movies.
Mainlining is a fair phrase. I'll be essentially strung out on movies.
Indeed, that nymphomaniac double bill won't watch itself.
It's not going to be a contender, so you could leave it.
I don't know. It's a bit harsh. I want to see it for the cat.
I liked it. Sorry, puzzle silences for everybody there. But I liked it.
I liked it fine, but it's not going to be a contender in my top 10.
It's a problem with splitting as well, actually, as well. So, anyway.
I'll watch them back to back, I promise.
You do that.
So, Jason, what have you been watching the last week?
One of the main ones is in the top 10. Another one has just disappeared out of it. So, we'll talk about the top 10 one in a bit. But I watched Fury.
Ah.
Finally, one of us went to Fury.
Yes.
One of us was finally bothered
Fury,
enough to see it.
Before it disappeared.
Was it worth the effort? Or did it leave you furious?
It's fine.
Judging by that sigh.
No. Do you know what it is like? We've all seen countless war films, right? Mm. We've all seen the standard war film kind of template. Maybe from back in the 50s, 60s, everything. You've seen them all. Yeah. And they're fine. Great war films do something a little different with the thing. Like the template, yeah, screw it. Fury sticks rigidly to it, whilst being very, 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 very well shot and really kind of fierce and claustrophobic and nasty and all those things that you want. And some of the acting is very good, but the stock characters and situations are just a little. You know exactly what's going to happen, and you know when it's going to happen. The beats are ridiculously familiar. It's interesting, and it as I said, it looks great, and it feels dirty, like in the proper World War, grimy Second World War sense. Like everything is sludgy, and they're going through bomb towns, and it has a sense of heft in the physical kind of thing. It doesn't feel too CGI based, kind of damage being made. So, yeah, that is, it does have the kind of veneer of one of the kind of classic war films without the screenplay of a. Like it just lacks a little more originality, I guess. But it's okay. I mean, it's fine. You'd watch it. It's a little long, maybe, but it's fine. Mm. But it's just nothing more than that. Nothing you haven't seen before.
Fair enough. I'm kind of glad I visited now.
Yeah, I think you should be. My other main one is in the top 10, and I shall talk about that presently.
I think I know what that is, and I'm frankly shocked.
Well, we shall see how shocked you are.
Right, me?
Yes,
me.
That's the order.
35 of these things, Philip.
You have to spice it up a bit. We'll switch it around next time. The IFI French Film Festival closed at the weekend, and I went along to their screening of Eros from Mon Amour, which is Alain René's New Wave classic. I've seen many, many times, but this is the first time I've seen it on the big screen. As wonderful as ever. A man and a French woman and a Japanese man have just met, begun an intense physical affair in Hiroshima in post-war Japan, and it's basically comparing his and Japan's experiences after the devastation of Hiroshima with her experiences post-World War II back in France. René made it just after, or he got the commission to make it after Night and Fog. So needless to say, it doesn't have the punch of Night and Fog, but the artistry and the beauty of the story by Marguerite Duras is sublime. And Emmanuelle Riva, God, she's beautiful. She is just one of the most beautiful faces I've ever seen on a screen. And she's mesmerizing to watch, both for her beauty and her performance. It's heartbreaking stuff.
I'm ashamed to say I've never seen it.
You must.
I shall. It's on the list that I'll never get through in my lifetime of films I need to see. But
that's I think that's a good thing.
It is, yeah.
You'll always be busy.
Never ending. Exhausting.
Now, we normally talk about the films we've watched before we actually record this thing. I purposely didn't mention one film I didn't watch.
Oh, good God. Are you sandbagging us?
Nah, kind of. You'll appreciate it because I was actually inspired by you. And it was one I've been meaning to see for a while.
Okay.
And I finally got around to watching Snowpiercer.
Ah.
Now all three of us have seen it at this
point. Yeah, but now you're wondering, what way am I going to go with him? Am I going to lean towards Jay or am I going to go with Niall?
I have a feeling you're going to go towards Niall. That's my instinct.
Well, let me surmise what we were thinking before.
Tilda Swinton's in it, he's going to go with me.
Jay said it was dreadful. Niall said it was not bad.
Yes.
It's not dreadful. And that's about as much as I can give it. I'm sorry, Jay, but I'm actually more with you on this one. This is great ideas. Good cast. Swinton, she steals the show completely. She owns. She's fantastic.
I wouldn't go that far, but I think she's the character and issues with it. It's overplayed for me. But anyway,
I like it.
Maybe we get away with that film, but
well, the thing is, she probably can because I really wanted to go with this, but the gaps in logic.
Yeah.
And in the plot, grated on me no end. It is messy. It is really,
it's
really
unbelievably messy.
Some individual scenes work on their own, but
they're loosely interconnected in the grand scheme of things. Though.
Yeah, because once you start picking this thing apart, it derails. Yeah. So,
does that mean that you want to see the Weinstein cut then?
No, I don't particularly want to see it again.
Actually, if I was going to watch it again, which I really can't see myself doing ever, but if I did, I'd probably want to see it.
No, it's
I can only imagine it immeasurably improve it.
I don't think it's a complete and utter disaster, but it is one of the biggest disappointments I've had watching a film this year.
It teeters on the brink of just almost collapsing. At so many points that you just think, what are they doing? For me, it just, like, there's some individual things what you're talking about, like some of the design and some of the compartments are.
The design's great.
Like, yeah, and take away the kind of CGI overhead shots of the train in snow that look like when we used to film Danger Mouse for budgetary reasons, where every scene happened in winter because, you know, it was easy just to have white screens. You know, there's such a that. But. Some of the actual compartmental designs are interesting.
Yeah, it's
the characterization was.
It's a video game.
It is very like a video game.
Yeah. It's a video game. You level up as you go along.
Yeah, I know it is actually, and you get to the final battle.
But then you get to the boss.
You have your cut scenes, which are your big vista scenes. You have your.
That's exactly what it is.
You have no characterization, which is classic in a video game.
But this is a film, though. I know it's like, you need a little more.
You do, you know? You do. And for me, Snowpiercer just did not deliver. Swinton is about the only person who comes out of it with her dignity completely intact. But, I don't know. I think Chris Evans, he's a solid lead.
He's okay.
He's okay.
He's not, he doesn't, like, the cast, the problem is not his.
The cast generally do the best of what they've got.
And they haven't got much.
No. Yeah, I was. It doesn't usually pain me to say, Jay, you were right, but just on this occasion, it hurts me.
Okay, well, I did try to warn you.
No, fair enough. I was going to see it either way.
Sure, absolutely.
There you go. Niall.
So, I watched Home Alone 2.
After last week's
Home Alone, yeah, this week I watched Home Alone 2.
My enduring memory of Home Alone 2 is, that's a bit weak.
It's okay.
No, it's fine. It's exactly the same formula.
It's exactly the same.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, the end of just going to the different house.
There's no bones about it.
Like, that was unashamedly, like.
Except perhaps more violent.
But it does have Brenda Fricker, though.
Much more violent. And Tim Curry.
And
anything that... Add Tim Curry. And
Tim Curry's great. Yeah, Tim Curry's in a select band of actors. And I put in Oliver Platt into that. Immediately make me glad I'm watching what I'm watching when he turned up.
2012.
No.
Even.
But Jay, you're forgetting one thing. Tim Curry, yeah, he's a fine actor. He's, you know, he just makes you smile when he crops up. But is that not at least due to the fact that he's been in some really, really, really bad films?
Yes, but I've got two words for you. Wilderness Girls. That's what I think.
I've got two more for you. No, four more for you. Oh, yes. They float.
Yeah, it's very good.
Do bundle up. It's awfully cold outside. It's his lip movements in that particular scene. And
I'm just a sweet transvestite. Come on, we're going there eventually. We're going to wait. Basically, we like Tim Curry. Some of us are iffy on Home Alone 2.
Listen, it's a long time since I've seen it.
Home Alone 2 inspired where I asked my wife to marry me, so...
Look at your big sentimental attachment to it. Look, we get it.
You're allowed that. That's fair enough.
Yeah, anyway, so that's...
If I had a violin now, and I could play a violin...
So I also watched Elf, because I was in the whole Christmassy type spirit.
God, you are. You really start early, don't you? You start watching them in July.
Well, he has to. I don't do Christmas spirit.
That's true.
No, you don't, Ebenezer. Yep.
I thought I was Rasputin last week. Now I'm Ebenezer. Yeah. Ebenezer Rasputin. That's me.
What a wonderful middle name.
So Elf is it's good fun.
It's overrated, though. People can talk about it's like some Christmas. It's not a classic. It's fine. And Ferrell doing his child thing. It's okay, but it's
okay.
What's her face makes it?
Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah, she makes the whole film.
It's her eyes.
She keeps me watching the film for
she
many
keeps
reasons.
Me watching many films.
Yeah, but
she's just a.
But she's great in that. Like, and Ferrell is annoying as he is, and like in small doses, I think he's very, very good.
He does have an innocence though that makes some of the gags work.
Yeah.
Best cup of coffee in the world. Congratulations. that is great.
No, there's some great stuff in it.
Individually, scenes work.
But it's an overall thing. It's not a great film.
No.
Mary Steenburgen cannot sing.
No.
At one point she has to sing in it. Oh, God. She's aged well, though. God love
her. She has. So. I saw her in some TV show last year. She looked great. Justified, I think.
This is getting very shallow.
It's just an admiration.
You're admiring the talent she has, because as we've established, she can't sing.
She's a fine actress, though.
Oh, she is.
Oh, she is. Definitely.
And then I also watched Die Hard 2.
Now that's Christmas.
I've got a theory about Die Hard 2, right?
Yeah.
I love it when Jay has a theory.
I love when a theory comes together.
Come on, Einstein, let's have it.
If Die Hard 2 was Die Hard, as in the order of the films are reversed, right? And Die Hard 2 was the first one. I think people would like it a hell of a lot more than they do. Because I think it's actually very good. And if it's coming after the first film... People were like, and then you saw what came after that, and they were like, jeepers, this is the... But I actually think it's actually really, really enjoyable. You're going to say no, you hate it.
A lot of people really enjoy Die Hard with Vengeance.
I do.
I prefer the second one by some distance.
I really do like the second one. And the main reason I really like the second one is Colin Meaney.
Yes,
he is great. There's also, isn't there a young John Leguizamo in two as well?
Yes.
And just strange things like that. And
I like
there
it.
Is.
There's also the guy who plays the cop in NYPD.
Dennis
Blue.
Franz.
Dennis Franz.
Plays anything but
no,
cop.
He's good. Always. I like that. I think it's well constructed. That together, the story's fine. It doesn't. It retreads all day, but it's great though.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's engaging.
It's one of my favorite kind of nonsense sequels like that.
It's incredibly nonsensical.
Yeah, but this Die Hard series. Like, come on, the whole thing's nonsensical.
Yeah, I suppose, but...
Well, it's more believable than five.
Yeah, I know, it's more believable, I mean, we're into La La Land, then. Oh, terrible, rated PG-13 CGI La La Land. Kind
Die Hard 4 is more believable than Die Hard 5.
Die Hard 4 has them trying to organise a fire sale and bring down every
I imagine that and runs very badly now.
Kevin Smith cameo.
I remember that! I'm actually embarrassed for the series just thinking about that. Come on. And then around John Moore, really, you would think, hammered the final nail in the coffin of the last one. But there will be more.
There probably will. Yeah.
Probably. Oh, well.
Anyway, so, moving on to movie news. There's a new Bond. The new Bond was announced.
No way!
The new Bond was announced earlier today. Bond 24 was given a title.
You frighten people with there's a new Bond. Yeah. So Craig's gone?
No. There's a new Bond movie.
Yes, there's a new
Bond. Bond 24 is going to be titled Spectre. So it's the second one-word movie, Bond movie. So
no, it's not. Goldfinger.
Thunderball.
Oh, no, sorry.
Two syllables.
That's it, yeah. Two syllables.
We're playing charades now.
Yeah, two-syllable one.
Sounds like?
Yes. No, second two-syllable one.
Sorry. Spectre Bond? No, I knew she was coming.
Budunch.
Yes, and we have a new cast. So we have...
So Craig is... No,
Credo, along the supporting cast. We have a new supporting cast.
Yes.
Right. So we have all the regulars returning.
Yeah.
And we... except for Judi Dench.
Spoilers!
Yeah. Spoiler for Skyfall. If you haven't seen it, it made $1.1 billion. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. She dies.
So she dies.
I mean, if you haven't seen it, she dies at the end of it, and Ray
Fiennes takes over as M, so he's there.
Fine choice.
Ben Whishaw is back as Q.
Yeah.
And Naomi Harris is back as Moneypenny.
No argument on any of those.
Yeah. And so we have Daniel Craig is back as Bond. And Rory Kinnear is back as well. So they're the main ones that are in it. And then Andrew Scott is joining as another MI6 operative called Denby.
I wonder if he'd be a double agent. Sorry, maybe he won't be.
It doesn't matter because now Niall is talking about Andrew Scott.
Yeah.
He might actually forget there are other people in this.
Niall is now dotting his eyes with love hearts.
So, Lea Seydoux and Monica Bellucci,
which is an amazing name.
That is an incredible choice.
Yeah. Monica Bellucci is such a good actress that I can see her making it through this movie alive.
That's a compliment.
I'm telling you, I could see it.
So she's so they're the two girls that are going to be in it, and
two girls.
Well, traditionally we have
Monica Bellucci
is a woman in every sense of the word.
Yes.
And Lea Seydoux, excuse me, a marvelous actress.
I'm going for the term Bond girl.
Oh, all right.
So they're the two there, and then we have Christoph Waltz as the bad guy.
Nominally.
Yes, nominally the bad guy whose name is Oberhausen. So.
Yeah, we can hope. It's a fine cast.
Or Khan Noonien Singh, or whatever, you know.
Jaws.
Speaking of which, we have Dave Bautista as the henchman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Hinks.
Awesome.
Came out of Guardians of the Galaxy, the best thing in it.
Mr. Hinks, wasn't that Robert De Niro's cat's name in Meet the Parents?
No,
that's Mr. Jinx.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's out in November of next year.
Sounds good.
They're only starting to shoot
next week.
Crack on, lads.
It's been shot on film, so
interesting.
Yeah, Hoyte van Hoytema is the
great choice to replace.
There's not many that you'll follow up Deacons with. It's a fine choice.
Yeah, go from Interstellar to that.
This all sounds good, though, doesn't it? I'm a huge fan of Skyfall. Anyway, so the whole team being kind of there and really good additions. Yeah, I'm in.
Cool. Oh, definitely, yeah. I can't wait. Just so long as they manage to maintain the quality. The problem is, you know, you cannot depend on one Bond one after another.
Yeah,
you just can't.
Casino Royale, great.
Quantum Solace, disaster.
Yeah.
Back
Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Skyfall goes above Casino Royale.
I bet.
I like them both very much.
Yeah, but
let's see
what Skyfall is a far superior film.
Anyway. I disagree, but oh well.
Anyway. On other casting news, Suicide Squad has been cast, so this is the DC villain-based film.
Did they just put this together in response to the Sinister Six project, which sounds sillier and sillier with each passing day?
Well, Sinister Six in the comics is actually quite, you know, quite useful.
Comics, film, difference, I can't see it working. Right. Anyway, this, I don't...
Tell me the cast so I can go for.
Will Smith.
Go for.
Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. And
nominal nobodies you've barely heard.
Joy Courtney.
Yeah, there.
Oh dear. Yeah. Still, Margot Robbie is playing Harley Quinn, right?
She is.
That is inspired.
See, I don't
know. Puddin' Company.
Okay.
Also, Cara Delevingne is in it as well.
I like her.
So, Will Smith was going to play Deadshot.
Interesting. Okay.
Tom Hardy is playing Rick Flagg, who is the national leader of the Suicide Squad. But having also played a DC villain in Bane, that's going to be an interesting one. Jared Leto is the Joker. This is the third time we'll have seen
the Joker as L'Oreal.
Time that we'll have seen the Joker because it's the Batman the TV movie.
This is this of all the people in it, and the kind of this is the part that troubles me most. I just don't see it.
I can see it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it'll be good. Then again, we thought the same thing when they cast Heath Ledger. So who knows? Really?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Heath Ledger from very early on.
Joy Courtney is going to play Boomerang.
He's not going to play anything. He's just going to stand there. Boomerang.
Yeah. and
he's going to
throw him away.
He's going to go there and come back.
No.
And Cara Delevingne is going to play Enchantress.
She is enchanting. I will give her that.
See, I know nothing about Suicide Squad, so this is all kind of
right over my head, Tim.
They're a super villain team, essentially.
But do they fit into the other Batman, Superman movies that are coming our way?
They are. They're part of the greater Batman Rogues Gallery. So,
can I ask you a question then? Do you say a super villain team?
Yes.
So, who do they fight in the movie? I don't get.
Well,
they're
forced to be heroes.
Ah, right. Okay.
So
they're
essentially anti-heroes.
This sounds like one of those. Those video games that are spin-offs from Lego. You just put them together and they'll fight stuff.
It doesn't matter. It works in the comics as well. So
again, this is a film.
Do we know who's directing this?
Yeah.
David Ayer.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know how to react to that.
Next.
Hey, he's a step up on Zack Snyder.
I'm a step up on Zack Snyder. And I'm not even joking.
Mac G is a step up on Zack Snyder.
Mac
G doesn't have the same visual flair. Zack Snyder is a very good visual artist, but that's
slow speed up.
Zack Snyder.
That's speed ramping. That's the technical term for that.
I can think of another term, but it's not suitable for this podcast.
So that's the Suicide Squad.
PG-13.
Moving on to news closer to home.
Excellent.
And we have 10 animation award nominations. So that's
the Annies. Nicely put, Annies. I like that.
So there are 10. Brown Bag has got 2. They're competing in the same category against themselves, essentially. So
there can only be one winner.
Brown Bag Films
present.
They have Doc McStuffins is one of the ones that's up. It's TV for children that's up, and I kind of...
I've heard of it, but just that title alone makes me go, oh, Doc McStuffins.
And Peter Rabbit is the other one that's up in that same category. Okay. So that's... and then we have Song of the Sea, which is up in 7 categories.
Wow.
Yep, so...
Best screenplay?
Best screenplay is one of them, yes. Best animated screenplay of an animated film. So, best director, best editing, best character design.
That was me swearing for some reason.
best animated film as well. So there's a 7 that it's up for, and then the short Coda is up for best animated short.
Coda's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, so. They're the Irish nominations in. The Annies, so cool. And then,
will the sun come out tomorrow at the Annies?
Nah.
We shall see.
It's a hard knock, like.
It is.
Please stop.
Sorry.
There are 3 Irish films at Sundance.
Yes.
So the big one is the Jack Rayner starring Glassland. This is
Gerard Barrett film.
Yeah, Gerard Barrett's follow up to Pilgrim Hill. So this won. It was the co-winner of Best Feature at the Galway Film Flap. So,
yep.
Hopes are high.
Hopes are high. Tony Collette's in it as well. Yep. Will Poulter. So that's a good cast.
He's a Pilgrim Hill's a fine debut. I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, I can't wait to check out Glass. And it's out in April of next year.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, April 17th. So it's up. And then also there's 2 Irish co-productions. One is in documentary. That comes from the crowd that made His and Hers, Benham Film. Called The Visit. So it's a documentary which poses the question of what would happen if we were ever visited by an alien.
Okay.
They'd look at us, scream, run back into their ship and fly far away as fast as they could.
Well, this is a sort of version of Ancient Aliens.
Yeah.
Right. No. And then the Strangerland, which is a co-production with Australia, and is directed by Kim Farad and stars Nicole Kidman, Joseph Fiennes, Hugo Weaving. So, yeah.
It's an Irish writer, isn't it? Michael Kinnearn's.
That's it, exactly. So,
good work.
It's good work. Even though it does star Nicole Kidman. She's not exactly, box office.
This is true, but,
What's called Hugo Weaving?
He is, but... He's still third on the poster after Fiennes and Kidman.
Yeah, so...
And it's not even the right Fiennes, it's Joseph.
Joseph Fiennes is fine.
He's okay.
Yeah. He's like, You can't afford the real.
He's a poor man.
He's a Diet Coke of.
He's a Diet Coke Rafe.
He's the Liam Hemsworth of Chris.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. Annie Baldwin to Alec.
Yeah.
Right. This is probably at this moment Woody Harrelson is just realizing all the Baldwins are related.
Oh, yeah.
Priceless stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then one Irishman was going to play Slam Dance, which is the sort of companion festival to Sundance.
Sounds like a sexier version of it.
Slam Dance.
And that's
the movie's Dark and Dark.
That's Darkness at the Edge. Darkness at the Edge of Town. Lagoon Pictures.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, you said that next to the Springsteen van. You shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Somebody stop singing Noel.
Every time that you go to search for it, that's what you get. You have to put in film afterwards.
Hey, it's a great album.
Get the one that you want. So. This is a story of a young girl who becomes a sniper in order to track down the person who hurt her sister. So.
I don't remember that being in the song.
Yeah, well. No, it's not in the song. No. Well, it's good. I've seen it. It's played at a number of festivals in Ireland, so it's worth watching. Hmm. It's great that we have. So, and that's as much representation as we have now. These are the. The initial competition. The ones that are playing out of competition are announced later on today.
Excellent.
So Warner Brothers gave a scholarship to a student here, a film student here in Ireland. His name is Daniel Kelly, and he's at the IADT.
You're jealous, eh?
IADT, studying a master's in screenwriting. So he's been given a scholarship by Warner Brothers, and he's going to be given sort of coaching by Warner Brothers as well.
I haven't quite followed this through. Is this on the basis of something he's written already?
I presume you submit to it or something.
Yeah, I would imagine that's how it works.
Some sort of submission to kind of make a case for it.
Well, then I'm dying to see what he submitted to get Warner Brothers' attention.
Well, apparently this is the new thing.
This started in the UK and is part of it's an extension of it. So.
I've no doubt the guy has a lot of talent and all the best to him with this. But at the same time, Warner Brothers, they're currently betting the farm on Zack Snyder's DC movie and whatever comes after.
And also
50 more of them.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And the Lego movie and all the sequels.
Yeah, okay.
If he wrote the Lego movie sequel, give him more money.
Lauren Miller are writing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but still. I just want Lego movie 2.
It's coming, Phil.
Well done, young Mr. Kelly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my point.
So he will get a short paid placement at Warner Brothers' office here in Dublin, as well as access to screening, mentoring support from the Warner Brothers executives here.
That sounds like a poison shell.
I know.
We're the people who always rally against executive meddling in these things.
The best news of the week. Galway is a UNESCO City of Film, one of only 5 in the world.
This is a good news, right?
That's pretty classy.
Except I don't really know what it means in any real way.
Well, it means that it's now viewed as being a cultural hub for a film in world circles. And so Galway is aiming to become the European capital of culture soon. And so this is a sort of precursor.
Oh, I say Dublin's seething.
All I can imagine is there are a lot of fans of the field at UNESCO.
The very first film, the very first city to be a UNESCO city of film was Bradford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did read that.
Where the National Media Museum is in the UK.
I really want to know what are the criteria for this.
Oh, now, it's interesting that you should ask that, because I have the criteria.
There you go.
Actually, I genuinely didn't know we had these. This is a genuine question.
Yeah, so it's you have to have a strong history of film production. Right, so.
Okay.
Which Galway does. It's had films down through the years. So.
Mr. Houston's good out there, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm also worried that Philip hasn't read the article.
Also, Roger Corbyn was out there for quite a while.
Corbyn, this is true.
His studio. So. Yeah, so you must have a proven links to production, distribution, and commercialization of film. You must have film studios, film landscapes, and or environments. Experience in hosting film festivals. Well, it's got the
Good lad, yeah.
Yep. Or screenings or other film-related events. Collaborative initiatives in a local, regional, and international level. Film heritage in the form of archives, museums, private collections, and or film institutes. So it has a Galway Film Centre. And then filmmaking schools and training centres. Houston Film School counts for that. And then made an effort in disseminating films produced and are directed locally or nationally. And
again, it does the flag part of that.
Yeah. That's good,
and
good
initiatives
work
to encourage knowledge sharing on foreign films, which it does
again
as well.
Again,
yeah, so
fantastic.
It's nice. A lot of criteria, but it's, yeah, well done. Very well done.
Fine think. City.
I haven't been to Galway in a while. I must pop back.
I do like Galway.
This is a Mayo person that's saying good things about Galway.
Two good teeth.
Are you all right?
Asher Ditty, IMP Garrish, and we beat them in the GA. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Generally speaking, there's rivalry between your two counties.
It's me against the world.
Probably a sport thing. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, don't ask me. No. I have no idea.
On to the top 10.
Woo! Sorry.
At 10. David Fincher's Gone Girl.
So. Oh, no. Does this mean she's gone next week?
Not quite Gone Girl this week.
Don't
yeah.
go, girl.
Bring,
don't.
Bring back Rosamund Pike, the loon. Or Amy, mental. Like, Rosamund Pike's probably lovely.
She's
but
great.
Amy,
in
no job.
Yeah, that's... Wow, look at that. It's going to finish something around 2.7, maybe. Or just shy. Well, yeah, just
yep.
shy of it.
Comfortably in the fourth spot in the highest ranking films of the year right now.
Fourth.
Yep.
Did anybody expect that?
Nobody expected that.
And
it's like, it's much like the Spanish Inquisition.
There's one thing we actually, I think, criminally overlooked every time we talked about this each week. The book. The fans of the book. They must have driven this way up.
Yeah.
Well, also just fans of adult entertainment. You know? And I don't mean adult entertainment in the regular
sense. We know what
sector.
You mean.
Yeah,
you know
I
mean, what you mean.
Yeah.
Kind of. Also, Fincher fans are, you know...
Yeah, quite numerous.
Numerous
but they didn't
yeah.
turn out for the Curse of Dragon Tattoo.
This is
it
true,
deserve,
actually.
Well,
man, that had the novel kind of thing as well.
Yeah. The
that's
same
the
number.
Thing.
It's, a lot,
Gun,
it's not as good a film, though.
No. No, we're close. Yeah, there you go. It's a lot of factors in its favor, and the proof is in the pudding. Bravo.
Indeed.
Much, much bigger actor in it, though, in Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
That's true, actually.
Then Stellan Skarsgård.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah. No, I still think Ben Affleck's a bigger...
Yeah,
role.
Fair.
At 9, The Book of Life.
Wow, this has taken one heck of a hit this week. 65%.
Yes. Another children's film opened that would do it, you know, especially when the Book of Life's been out that long.
We'll get to that. But still, that's finishing with over 650,000.
Yeah, it's
not too shabby.
Well.
Not too shabby.
Not at all.
At 8, The Drop.
And it's dropping.
Yeah.
Again, I made that gag last week. I've made it again.
It's yeah, but that's fair because it's passable. It's a decent film, but it's nothing to write home about. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't inspire me to see it.
No, it's a Sunday afternoon film if you happen to be home. You know.
Yeah, and I shall watch it at that point.
Yep.
I think though that's reflected in his box office take. It should.
Yeah.
It'll be over 300,000, but not much.
No, that's yeah. So that's not particularly brilliant, considering
no.
that it had Tom Hardy. You know,
yeah.
But again, Tom Hardy's not quite the box office draw that
he should be.
That he should be. Yeah. Then at 7, Frozen is back.
Good lord!
I have a confession to make.
Yeah, you still haven't seen.
I've never seen Frozen.
I haven't seen Frozen either.
For the love of Mike!
Oh, just let it go.
Hey, I will see Frozen at some point.
No, I don't want to build a snowman.
Why would you not want to build a snowman?
Yeah, Philip.
Well, for starters, it's not snowing. Look out the window, guys.
That, if you had imagination, that wouldn't stop you.
Imagination? I don't need imagination. It's...
One day you shall get imagination.
It's doing quite well without me.
It
yeah,
is.
It really is.
It's
insane.
Re-enter
it's
the
back.
Top 10.
On
back.
Sing-along screenings.
Yeah, sing-along screenings to which the Omniplex in Rat Minds was offering earplugs for parents.
Oh,
that
yes.
was
Less
very
than...
clever.
Yeah.
I saw that. Very, very clever indeed. But that still wouldn't be enough to get me to go anywhere near it. I'll watch it at some point. But
it's out on DVD. So you can...
Really?
Yes.
We
I know.
We
every child
watch.
In the country must have a copy.
Possibly. They definitely... Well, every child in the country seems to want that doll.
Yeah, there's chaos with that.
Oh, well. That's all your fault, Adele Dazeem. Yeah. / Idina Menzel. / whatever Travolta feels like saying.
She's playing here next year. She's going to be playing at the Borgata Energy Theatre.
Oh, front row centre, me.
Then, at 6, Nativity 3, Dude, Where's My Donkey?
We laugh, yet it's probably going to finish with as much, if not more, than The Drop.
Oh,
probably
people
more.
Will pay money to see this film.
Yes.
It's numerous sequels, like this is the third time around, and probably the fourth time around this time next year, we moan about it again.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah. Just the bad side of Christmas. This.
Yeah, this is the bad side of Christmas. Not this. The mounting debts, not the family arguments. This.
Yeah. We're a film podcast. So. If you want to join a State of the Economy podcast, feel free.
Oh, no, no.
Please don't do that.
I'm already on a downer.
Remember what happened last week when we got into political discussions and I had to cut 10 minutes out of the podcast?
I don't know what you mean.
Let's not do that again.
No, it's funny, though.
It was funny, yeah.
Now.
I still have it.
Good.
I'm going to need it in court someday. At 5, The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
That has not taken enough of a hit this week for my liking. People, stop going to it.
I don't know what kind of money it was expecting in real terms. Like, it's coming towards $500,000.
It's done significantly better in the UK than it has done here. Yeah. It's a UK story, so you'd expect that.
Yeah.
But it's got better reviews in the UK as well, I think it was.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
That would be fair, but then, again, because it's a British story and there's a huge feeling of guilt over what happened
to Turing.
So.
He's a national hero. This is not the commemoration he deserves.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. He's so responsible for
he saved the country and he helped. He was the birth of modern computing.
He was one of them, yeah. So, and he was one of the people who saved the country. Because the thing is, the Imitation Game will make you believe that he did it all by himself, but that he did not.
No, there you go. You see, at every possible level, it's not working.
Oh, no, as a historical document, it is horrifically wrong.
Well, we weren't expecting the act of killing.
No.
No, but I think... That it seems to have played it safe.
Safe.
I mean, the story that good, you wonder why they bother doing it like that. But anyway.
At 4, Interstellar.
This took a heck of a drop last week. It's taken another one this week, down 40%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, let's see. At this rate, it's going to finish something around 1.8.
Which is reasonable.
It's reasonable.
I think you may have expected a little more, but... It's done all right worldwide, hasn't it? I mean,
it's
that's
made big, I mean, no, big money.
It's more than made back its money.
Yeah,
it's
okay. It's an okay film.
That's fine.
We like it.
Okay film, okay box office.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Could have been something.
It really could have been.
It could have had class.
Could have been a contender.
Nah.
Instead of a bum, which is what I am. Actually, Horrible Bosses 2.
Oh, yeah. I really need to see Horrible Bosses.
Because
I'll get lost in the story. I wouldn't know what was going on.
Three guys try to kill their boss. That's essentially the first film. No, second film is much of the same crap.
Have you seen it?
It sounds terrible.
No, I have not seen the second one. I have seen the first one. But
is the first one any good?
Yeah.
I saw it right.
If you like Jennifer Aniston playing sexy, and let's face it, a lot of people do.
Yeah, but is the film
it's
any
forced,
good?
It's forced, though. It's not
very forced. It's that's kind of the point. It is.
Yeah, it's
the whole film itself is forced.
Secretary, you're going to, or that one? What was the one that she made really early on?
The Good Girl.
Yes, that's if you want to see her playing. That's the proper type of sexy, not the forced sexy.
Yeah.
Anyway, at 2, Paddington.
Now,
Jason.
Yes.
Hold up. Do you remember the surprise I was talking about earlier? Here we are, Jason, the person who, if you listen back on last week's podcast, probably said you were never going to go see this, or wouldn't go see it.
Okay.
You went to see it.
Yes.
What happened?
Right, okay. Right.
Who are you? What have you done to Jason Coyle?
Let me explain.
Please do.
Right. Last weekend, I was on babysitting duties for my niece, Sophia, whose birthday is this Sunday, so wish her a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sophia. What have you done to your uncle, though? We're worried about him.
Her dad, Keith, is an avid listener of the podcast. He will be freaked out when I'm going to tell him that you mentioned it. He'll be freaked out listening to it. But we were babysitting at the weekend, so as all good babysitters should do, find something to do.
And you found Paddington.
I found Paddington. It's like, we go see Paddington. I went in with relatively low expectations, to say the least. I don't know. Like, I didn't really watch Paddington. It was very English as a show. Like, I didn't really get it as a kid. Oh, yeah, I knew. Yeah, I knew the vague kind of outline of it. The film had got great reviews in England in particular, and I was very suspicious. And we just talked about that before.
Yeah.
The extra stars for good old England, because it wasn't a disaster kind of thing. So, it was like, okay. And then it was bloody good. It was good. It was good. Guys, I'm shocked.
You have this on tape, right? We are recording still.
The film is good. The film is good. Like, the story is, obviously, Paddington is in, quote-unquote, darkest Peru. His family.
Deepest, darkest Peru. Yes.
And the there's this kind of black and white scene from wherever, the kind of 40s or whatever. It's hard to tell. And, you know, it's Paddington's parents, I guess. Grandparents, wherever it is, anyway. And there's this whole sequence in the back of the thing, and then Paddington comes to London to find somewhere to live and to meet families and be all happy. And he finds London to be miserable. We're miserable people.
Okay.
Why are you still shocked?
Where is the smoking caterpillar and the Queen of Hearts? I'm through the looking glass here. This is remarkable.
Right. What if a film is good? Right. Like, what am I supposed to call
it? I'm
going to
correct you. That's Alice in Wonderland, not through the looking glass.
I was trying so hard.
There's two things, right? One, it's not farcical and slapsticky as you would think. Yeah, you think it would be. It's not. There is some great sequences in it that work really well in that regard, and, you know, had lots of kids screaming. Kids' cinemas are weird places. Anyway, there's some really kind of melancholy elements to it that actually kind of work really well, which the kids, I think, were a little shuffling in seats for to watch. It's like, and the whole kind of immigrant story.
I can see it all now. Uncle Jay, why are you crying?
I wasn't crying. I was stronger than that. But as this whole kind of weaves the whole immigrant experience into the story really, really well, of that kind of foreigner, quote-unquote, coming to a country to try and
get their jobs.
Yeah, and it has this kind of whole thing about people should accept people for who they are and where they're from and stuff, which is lovely. And a lovely message to put into a kid's film, I would say. But it really works. Nicole Kidman does essentially the Golden Compass bit. You know, frozen face kind of thing. Yeah, no, she's fine. She does. It's not really necessary. It's kind of, it kind of works fine. Pierre Capaldi does a great Alf Garnett-like character.
But in kind of floral, anyway.
He's just got a floral shorts that matches wallpaper. It's like he's just houses like in the 1970s. It's fantastic. And he's very good.
I'm guessing he doesn't curse Paddington at it.
No, but there's a lot of strange things going on in there. You know, that kind of stuff next door in the house with the strange people from different countries, that kind of thing, which is really funny. Sally Hawkins is in it.
That's
what
we
can always like.
Hugh Bonneville's in it. That's
Hugh Bonneville's also good. Two kids are not annoying. They're pretty good. It's a fine film.
Now do you know the problem?
I might have to go see it.
It's not brilliant, and like there's a couple of moments where you kind of go, oh, maybe
it's for the kids.
Yeah, but for the most part, it really worked. I enjoyed pretty much all of it.
Well, there's
and Ben Whishaw. Ben Whishaw is like whatever. I don't know what we had with Convert or what it would have been. Ben Whishaw is perfect. I know what I mean, perfect. Like, he takes something that looks a bit ropey, occasional CGI, and makes it into a kind of living, breathing character. And he does it very, very well.
It also has inspired an absolutely brilliant thing, where an immigration lawyer has reviewed the movie on the basis
of... Oh,
have
they? Fantastic.
I heard this.
And
yes.
Paddington is in breach of Section 24 of the Immigration Act of 1971. And also, Mr. and Mrs. Brown could face prosecution under Section 25 of the Immigration Act because they unlawfully assisted the immigration to a member state, and they could serve 14 years in jail.
If only he were human.
That's actually interesting. They also looked into
human rights for bears. You know, so
that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe that's a stretch.
Yeah, and then whether or not he would be considered a refugee, but on the basis that Peru is not a nation state that is subject to that status. So
anyway,
he would not.
Probably a little too much for me, but
you know, for kids.
But still, you know, somebody went to the effort.
People always go to the effort. That's so bizarre about people.
You got to love the internet for certain.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's good. Two thumbs up.
Yes. And then at number one,
I wonder what this could be.
The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. So I went to see this.
Yes.
It dropped 54% and yet it's still top of the box office by a long margin. People, stop being cheap.
Well, I went there last night and the cinema was 2/3 full, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nearly 2 weeks.
It's good. I mean, if you're already invested in the world, then it very much is one. It's a Hunger Games film. It does a better job than the book of telling that story, because the book is dreadful.
I keep hearing this. So this is going to be a
dreadful. The third book has problems. See, the problem with the Hunger Games is that it relies too much on the point of view, right? So it's all told through to Katniss, and you get all of her internal monologue and all the rest. Whereas this, you can't. Internal monologue doesn't work on screen. So they actually show an awful lot more. So there's one scene that involves them raiding a building, which she's told about in the book, but this has actually happened. So it's a great set piece, right?
Yeah,
show, don't tell.
Yeah, and so, no, it works very well as a... It's the best half a movie that I've seen, you know, because...
because we've had a lot of those lately.
Yeah, and we need to... That needs to stop. But it won't, because they make too much money.
Economics.
Yeah,
yeah. So, no, that's absolutely fair.
But which reminds me, it ends at a kind of natural turning point, and it does make you want to watch the next bit of it, though. I mean, you have to wait.
Well then, job done.
You have to wait a year. That's kind of infuriating, you know. So,
yeah.
But everyone is as good. It's very difficult to watch Philip Seymour Hoffman. The film's dedicated to
still hurts.
It does. It's jarring to see him.
I've just realised, though, that this stars Philip Seymour Hoffman and Julianne Moore.
Yes.
What I wouldn't do to see P.T. Anderson's Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah. What a film that would be.
Wes Anderson's Hunger Games.
Nah, I'd sooner watch P.T.
Have you seen there's a Wes Anderson cut of the new Star Wars?
I haven't watched it because...
I must see that.
I don't know.
The George Lucas version of the new Star Wars trailer is hilarious.
It's actually pretty accurate.
Actually, did we watch the Star Wars? Did we talk about the Star Wars trailer last
week? No, we didn't. No.
Oh, good. That's fine by me.
I quite liked it.
I did. It's thematically correct to the film. To the series.
It feels good. I agree too.
I completely refuse to get in any way excited about this.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
Did you like it? That shot of the Millennium Falcon is fantastic.
The shot of the sword, even with the guards up, that's still that's what got me. That's the most thing I liked.
Loved
other than that,
the opening with just the head and he's kind of lost and he's surrounded by
I think it says a lot about the state we're in when most of the talk was a black stormtrooper.
Yes,
there's someone within those suits. People, get over it.
Yeah, but the idea was that the original trilogy put forth the notion that they were all clones of Jango Fett, and therefore they would all look the same as Jango Fett.
I think I stopped caring about
that is no longer the case is because you would have had a finite number of clones. They would have needed to be replaced along the way because they would have naturally aged.
That's how it was justified.
I've got me a headache
and
now.
An awful lot of them died in the two Death Star
explosions. That's true, It's like, we should stop building Death Star.
The most thing I ever got out of Star Wars was that discussion of labour relations on board the Death Stars in Clerks.
Yeah.
I'm forever thankful for that. After that, I can
take it. That's actually a hilarious discussion.
Isn't it?
It really
is. It makes sense.
Smith was funny at one stage.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. So, there is...
Sorry,
that was Hunger Games, and it is... Yeah, it's worth going to see, especially if you have already watched it. But if you watched the Hunger Games, you've probably already seen it. So.
I've seen the first one. I've watched a little bit of the second. I haven't watched it all yet.
One's better than the first one.
I think the opposite, as a matter of fact.
That's not like you, Phil.
I know. I'm not contrary.
This guy over here.
So, out this week.
Yes.
It's a long list.
It is a long list. But we'll start with the one that's been waiting the longest. The Grandmaster.
Aha.
Yes.
Now, I would like to say I have seen this, except I haven't seen what's actually coming to cinemas. I have seen the original full-length cut that Wong Kar-wai, the director, gave us. This is the 20 minutes shorter version, courtesy of Mr. Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that it's also reordered.
And reordered.
Is it?
Yeah. You see, I have to go by the cut I've seen, which is kind of odd, but anyway, the basic story is, it's a story of Ip Man, the man who's best known for having trained Bruce Lee, played by Wong Kar-wai's muse, Tony Leung. And that is pretty much it. There's a few other story strands, mostly around formation of various kind of strands of kung fu, and it's all very territorial and gang based, and or well, not gang. I'd almost say tribe. Something between a gang and a tribe, a gribe. Anyway,
a trang.
A trang. Anyway, various trangs and gribes are fighting. One of them is led by Ziyi Zhang. And there's hints of a romance there between her and Ip Man, and I'm being vague about it because that's kind of the problem with the Grandmaster. It's more concerned with its visuals and its fights than its story.
And they are stunning.
This is the thing. The film is worth seeing because it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Philippe Lesourd was rightly nominated for an Oscar for his cinematography, and the fights are... These are the most elegant and beautiful fight scenes, if you could call a fight scene beautiful.
Oh, you can.
It's ballet.
It is ballet.
Yeah.
Ballet as a fight.
Yeah, it's... Oh, it puts the Raid to shame.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's like the Raid got some manners. It's
the Raid with elegance.
Yeah. This is the thing. I mean, it's... Whoa. As a visual experience, you're just going to sit there dazzled. Also, yeah. Ip Man wears this very distinctive white hat. I want that hat. And Leung is his usual dependable, solid self. He is a great foundation stone around which much gorgeous chop sucky is built. I wish I could say the same. It could be said for the story, which is a bit airy. It's not that compelling. Certainly not as compelling as it should be. But as I say, for the visuals alone, well worth a look.
Excellent.
Yeah, I endorse that. It's my version of the DVD or Blu-ray that Philip watched.
Yes, thank you for that, by the way. That's the extended cut. This cut is 108 minutes. The extended cut is 130. I can imagine why Weinstein wanted to cut it, just to make it that bit more...
Palatable,
a bit more multiplex-friendly, even though it's definitely not a multiplex release. But...
It's Weinstein. They love cutting stuff.
Yeah, if only just to generate some... Buzz, I think.
Which I think they do a lot of for that reason.
Snowpiercer, The Immigrant. He's done it a lot lately, yeah. And I would actually prefer it if he stopped, just for the sake of the integrity of the filmmakers. Because I love Carl Weiss.
If you get into business with him, though.
Exactly.
That's the risk, I suppose, but, sign a deal with the devil, but there you go.
Yeah, indeed.
So one of the smaller movies that's out this week, in terms of locations, is just... showing in Cineworld is Action Jackson, which is an Indian action comedy.
Is it a remake of the original Action Jackson, though? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I just think it's because it kind of rhymes, but not really. They just went with it.
It runs nicely.
I love the idea that two films could separately realise that Action and Jackson sort of rhyme.
I imagine the title was inspired by the other one.
I love the thought that there could be an Indian Craig T. Nelson and an Indian Carl Weathers in this one.
That would be brilliant.
Well, the original wasn't particularly brilliant. I don't know.
No, but Craig T. Nelson voiced Mr. Incredible, and therefore the man gets a pass. You know?
Yep.
Carl Weathers, I could kiss you. Mwah! Thank you, Chief Wiggum.
So Indian films generally they don't do that well here, but still, it's great to see.
It's a niche. Cineworld keep that going.
Exactly, yeah, it's great to see that. So
someone's giving them an outlet. More power to them.
So then, Kevin MacDonald has a new film,
Black Sea.
Black Sea, indeed. So it's getting positive reviews.
It is, but considering this is the guy he's an Academy Award winner who gave us some excellent films like Last King of Scotland.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing as much buzz around this one. Not much.
I've never heard of it until like 5 days ago. Ever heard of it at all? I was like, there's a new Kevin MacDonald film.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got a solid leading man in Jude Law.
And Scoop McNairy.
Scoop McNairy and Kevin Mendelsohn. It's a Killing Them Softly reunion, Jay.
Back together.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Damn it.
He's living there with all the Wilmots.
That's a reference to last week's podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Listen back, we recommend.
And best of all, Michael Smiley.
Yes.
Ah, Michael Smiley.
This is a great cast.
Yes, Jodie Whittaker apparently.
I didn't know Michael Smiley was in this. Now I really want to see it. Open up and let the devil in.
Apparently, Jude Law is the most extraordinary of Scottish accents in it.
Do you mean
extraordinary? Is dreadful.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, it's quite jarring to the Scottish ear. from what I heard. But the reviews have been very strong.
The director is Scottish, surely he would have noticed.
Could he not get a Scottish guy in? Like, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many of them. You know, there's good Scottish actors out there, isn't there?
Yeah, well.
Was Ewan McGregor busy?
Well, that is not just Ewan McGregor. You know?
He's a good actor.
There he is. He's a
and he is
actor.
Scottish.
Yes. And he needs more lead roles.
He does.
Give him the attempt. Give him something to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's about a guy who, in order to make good with his former employers, he's a submarine captain. He takes a job and with a shadowy backer to search the depths of the Black Sea for a submarine that was lost, apparently loaded with gold.
That old chestnut.
So, yes.
Hmm.
That sounds okay. The reviews have been pretty strong.
Hmm. Yeah.
But again, it's
claustrophobic type job, you know, so.
It just flummoxes me why we just haven't heard more about it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, it's the season. Surely this can be marketed in some way as being, you know, awards friendly.
You would think. But
yeah.
But or you would think that even the, like, BAFTA, you know?
Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah. This sounds like something BAFTA would just eat up.
Yeah.
It's evolving Nazi gold, and it's got Jude
Law. No. Nobody said the word Nazi there.
Bet it's Nazi gold.
Thanks, Jay.
It always is. It's a classic.
Exactly.
They're going to go submarine film. You have to have Nazi gold. I mean, it's the rules, isn't it?
I don't know. Were Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington arguing over Nazi gold?
They were too busy arguing about the silver.
Oh, God.
That Tarantino polish that everybody so loved. I did like that film, though.
I love Crimson Tide. What's next?
Yes. Yeah,
let's move on.
Concerning Violence is in the IFI. It stars Lauryn Hill.
She's narrating. This is a documentary about the slave trade.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Way back when?
The struggle for liberation from colonial rule. So,
12 years of documentary.
12 years of documentary. Well, is that not Boyhood?
Hey, that is not a documentary. There's a lot of things that Boyhood isn't. But, this is getting very positive notes.
I would imagine so, yeah. It's one of those wordy type of subject matters, you know, so.
Mm. Wordy or worthy?
Worthy.
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 You would hope that the film stands up to worthiness.
Well,
to make it good.
Are we worthy?
I don't know.
As many people say, we are not worthy.
It showed a Sundance.
Denied.
Where it went out very well, but as we all know,
that means nothing.
That does not mean a lot.
No.
I'm actually more interested in seeing a film than Sundance if it gets mixed reviews. When it's strong, I worry.
But it won at Berlin.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah.
So that's. God almighty. And it got a special jury award at Sheffield as well. So Sheffield is
a strong documentary.
So, I mean, that's an indication of its worth.
So perhaps we are worthy.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
It's on the iFi, worth checking out. So then, we have Get Santa, new comedy.
Let's not.
Yeah.
Leave him there. Let's just. Leave him as he is. Hasn't he a job to do?
Bit of a shonky trailer for this, I thought. And I was like, no.
No. Jim Broadbent, what are you doing?
Jim Broadbent. He's been in some fairly dodgy stuff.
I just try and remember the good days, like Topsy Turvy.
Yeah.
And
Bullets over Broadway.
Much.
Second film of the week with Jodie Whittaker, though.
Okay, you're kind of selling me here, but.
Warwick Davis.
Oh, he's cool.
Yeah, Red Spall.
I could take him a leave.
Yeah, so these are all.
Yeah, but the problem is the premise.
Yeah.
It's a kiddie movie.
Father and son team up, save Christmas monster, and discover that Santa is sleeping in their garage after crashing his sleigh and finding himself on the run from the police.
Were the reindeer drunk?
I don't know.
I'm putting far. It sounds like I'm putting more thought into this than perhaps the filmmakers. I don't know. It just sounds so.
Anyway, I've got to line up around. Men, Women and Children is ours.
Okay, Philip's been waiting for this for months.
I've been waiting for this for training. 2 months.
He's been on film training for this, people.
Well, I don't know if I've been in training. I've just been mulling over some words and phrases I could use to describe this thing. It is putrid. It is foul. It is sanctimonious. It is one of the worst things I've seen this year. And God damn it, Jason Reitman, you have fallen far from the tree. What happened?
Not found them.
But anyway, Yeah, this is basically an ensemble piece about a group of Texas teenagers and their parents and their varying experiences with their online selves. So far, so who cares? The problem is that everything that every person does on social media, every website they visit, even texting and iMessaging on their phones, it has bad consequences.
The media's bad.
Internet's bad. Okay, you shouldn't use the internet. That's the basic point of this film. It's
sounds like a newsroom.
It's so paranoid.
Is a staple.
Adam Sandler is in it, but I've said this before. Adam Sandler, when he tries to do drama and keep a straight face, he's actually okay. He's not the problem here. The problem here is the sanctimoniousness of this script and the direction. Like, every time something comes to a head in this film and a character has made a mistake, the camera pulls back slowly, so it's like, oh, so it doesn't know whether it's inviting the audience to go, oh, the poor thing, or, ooh, how could you, how dare you. The whole thing is narrated by Emma Thompson to try and give it an air, a gloss of respectability. But then you hear her saying words which you probably don't want to hear Emma Thompson say. And it just, oh, it makes you feel so dirty and so foul. It's horrible. I hate this thing so much because it's such a hateful film. It hates its characters so much. No film should be allowed to treat its characters this way. And it's a pity because there's a good cast going to waste here. Rosemary DeWitt, Judy Greer, Dean Norris, that guy that all the teenagers seem to like these days, what's his name? Gumsel Ungort.
Yeah.
Hansel?
Ansel or something.
He's so hot, right?
The guy in The Fault with Our Stars.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy, Menzel Gengort. Anyway.
Ansel Elgort.
That's what I said.
The Hansel's so hot right now.
Yeah, this won't do his or any other careers involved in this film any favour. It's so self-satisfied and smug.
I saw the trailer today. Oh, sorry, the review by Pierre Bradshaw. And he was kind of disparaging about it. You gave it 3 stars. Interesting to read it. Have a read of it and see what you think. It's,
I must have a look.
He makes it sound better than you make it sound. I
can't stress just how much I hate
it. I've obviously seen it. It sounds awful.
It is. And I'm delighted to report it has tanked at the US box office. So I hope it repeats the performance
at some point. They're going to have to sit Mr. Reitman down and say, listen, stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and also get, you clearly lost Diablo Cody's phone number. Get it back.
Yeah.
So I think Philip enjoyed that.
Yeah.
He's never smoked a cigarette.
What's next?
Penguins of Madagascar. So this is actually a good crack. I wholeheartedly recommend checking out this children's film.
I didn't know you'd seen this. Yeah,
spin off of the Madagascar franchise, and it's, yeah, it's just,
I like the Madagascar movies.
Yeah,
well, I've seen the first two.
This is similar with, you know, the
penguins.
The penguins
are cute and cuddly boys. Cute and cuddly. I like these guys.
They're great. And it actually works. I mean, sometimes you take minor characters out and give them a whole movie, doesn't work. But this one's
they're cute, awesome. And yet they're sassy. I can go with
it. It's kind of died its arse a little bit, hasn't it? I read something the other day about it. That it's not,
didn't open, yeah, it didn't do as well as people expected.
And they really expected
it. Because Madagascar 3 opened, yeah. It's stupid money.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm surprised.
I don't know why.
It's an interesting one.
It's good. It's not.
Is it as good as the other Madagascar films?
Yeah, it is. It's better than the third Madagascar film, which wouldn't be difficult. Madagascar goes to Europe. Oh, yeah, there we go.
But Madagascar's not in Europe.
Don't get me started on Madagascar 3. So I do recommend checking out the Penguins of Madagascar. The Penguins as a...
Penguins.
No.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Who is in the Penguins of Madagascar.
Now I want to go and see it. I just hear him say Penguins.
Well, he doesn't say it in this. But,
yeah. Oh, what a rip-off.
He says it in a documentary.
I've seen that clip. That's hilarious.
And there's a dreadful-looking horror called The Pyramid.
From the co-writer of The Hills Have Eyes. Yeah. And, yeah, it's produced by Alexandre Aya. group of people stumble upon ancient Egyptian tomb. I think it stars one of the in-betweeners. It looks really redundant.
It's got dreadful reviews.
Yes, it does.
Star one of the in-betweeners, and yes, it has got absolutely appalling reviews.
Oh, well then, there you go. I was right.
Yeah.
I like it when I get to say that.
Yay.
Then, back to the IFI for School of Babel.
Sounds like a retread of The Class, the Palm d'Or winner from a few years back.
Yes, no harm, that is a fine film.
True.
So basically, School of Babel sees children who speak little or no French in France who are placed into a special reception class where they are taught to speak French, and it follows.
It sounds wonderfully practical.
Yeah.
But does it work? This is the point of the film.
It's getting good reviews, not stellar, but good.
It ain't The Class.
So, and then we have St. Vincent. Now, I have seen St. Vincent.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know this. Yeah. What do you think?
I enjoy it, but then I like Bill Murray. So
Everybody
likes Bill Murray. That's not hard. I've seen the trailer. It looks pretty funny.
It is.
Also, I know it has Naomi Watts in it. I think you're predisposed to like this.
That does help. Yeah.
Am I the only one worried about Naomi Watts in her film choices in the last few years, though?
She's in this and Birdman. She's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was this played at Toronto, and it came second runner-up in the People's Choice Awards there. And so
That's a good pedigree.
Basically, it sees Bill Murray as a sozzled guy who lives next door to Melissa McCarthy, and Melissa McCarthy needs somebody to look after her. So
if I lived next door to Melissa McCarthy, I'd be sozzled too.
And
that's the spirit.
Her son Oliver, and then so naturally Bill Murray is the guy, but his method of babysitting is not quite up to with their Jason's. It's more that he brings him to the racetrack and he encourages.
I never thought of the racetrack.
Yeah, so he learns from him, and the kid learns from
You're not really selling this.
It's got
sounds
that kind of story to it. No, it is. But
it looks very
sweet. Playing Gumby, and it's and he's brilliant at it. And so
yeah, okay.
It's very, very good. It's a little sentimental, but I really enjoy it, and it's I recommend checking it out.
Also, Chris O'Dowd playing an Irishman.
Yes, Chris O'Dowd playing a priest.
Good lord.
But the priests in it they're kind of lackadaisical, the guys. It's funny. All very funny.
They do sound like those kind of enlightened Catholic priests you find over in the States. Yes. we'll go easier. Yeah, we might as well.
I don't know about enlightened. It's just they're more laissez-faire.
Okay, laissez-faire. Go laissez-faire.
Yeah, so I recommend checking out St. Vincent.
This may be one of the ones of the huge amount of new release I'll check out.
Yes. And so on that note, we leave it for the week.
Very good.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
See you next
week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.